Hello and welcome to this summary of the joint IASB-FASB board meeting held between the 20th and the 22nd of July. My name is Mark Byatt, Director of Communications for the IFRS Foundation. I'm joined today by Ian McIntosh, Vice Chairman of the IASB, and Alan Teixeira, Director of Technical Activities. Hello, guys.
Hello, Mark.
Right, well, let's go straight into it. Ian, perhaps you could begin by talking about lease accounting. I believe there were some major decisions that were made.
Absolutely. Leasing is going very well, particularly on the converged basis, which is very pleasing to see. We agreed on the lessor accounting, which is on a partial derecognition basis. And having now made most of the major decisions on this project, we did have a discussion on whether we needed to re-expose. And there is a unanimous decision by both boards that we should re-expose because of the quantity and type of changes that have been made to the original exposure draft. So after those two major decisions were agreed, there were a lot of more detailed decisions on cash flows and disclosure and the like. But as I said, it is a project that seems to be moving forward well.
Yeah, I just added that in as well. A lot of people since the meeting have just asked about the likely comment period for that as well. And I think it's important to emphasise that normally our board doesn't make the type of re-exposure decision that it did make on Thursday quite as early in the project. There's still some issues that are coming back to us in September, but they thought it was just helpful to get this into the marketplace. And they'll go through the normal process of setting a comment period. And we won't be in a position to probably at least the end of September to be able to predict when the exposure draft will come out again.
Okay. Alan, perhaps we could stay with you. I believe the other topic where there were substantive discussions was impairments.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. The impairments are very important. Obviously, it's probably the most critical leg of the financial instruments project at the moment for us. And the boards have been struggling to get together with a common solution for impairment. Just to give a bit of background again, we've had what we called an incurred loss model. Essentially, it's the same type of model that's been in place both under US rules and under IFRS's. And what we've been trying to do is to move towards more of what we call an expected loss model. So you anticipate likely losses and actually bring those together. Now, what the boards have done is the last couple of months, they've been developing what we call a three-bucket approach, essentially where the expected losses, is you separate those and based on the pattern of deterioration of credit quality. Now, the way to think about it, just very, very loosely, is that we used to call it the good book, but really one category of loans is for the loans themselves that are they're in good situation, you're not worried about them as a portfolio or as a whole, and so you can expect to collect most of the cash flows from those. The bucket that's at the very other end of the spectrum is people have often called the bad loans or bad bucket. Essentially those ones where people have actually stopped paying, for example. So there's been not just a deterioration in the likely collection, but things are happening. Now you'd manage those on an individual loan basis. And what we've been doing is in the middle, middle category would be for those loans where the very simplest way to think about it is that perhaps there's a large industry in a particular town, it's shut down, and now it's likely that you will get some of those people not paying their mortgages, for example. Now, it's not that they've actually not paying them yet, but it's likely that they won't. And so you ought to book or recognise losses for those because you expect losses in there. So really the two things we've got to do are work out how to put things into those particular categories and how to move things from one category to another. Now, basically, what the boards have agreed to is to pursue an approach based on what they call credit risk management systems. So what they're doing is recognising credit risk management as a holistic process with lots of information. We're trying to tie this down to the way banks think about credit risk. The boards did consider whether they wanted what they call an absolute or relative credit risk model approach. Now, the difference would be, remember I said there's this good book or highly performing loans. Do you separate these three categories based on credit ratings, for example? So for very loosely, would you have A in the first category, B in the second, and credit rating C in the third? Or is it based on movements in between the categories? And what the boards have decided is it should be based on relative credit risk. So that if you, for example, have loans that initiated and they were sort of B-grade loans, and now it deteriorates to a C, that might be, for example, the basis for moving them from one bucket to another. So we're going to have a look at that again, but at least we've now locked down to three categories. We know it's based on credit risk management, and we have started to look, and we know about it's based on relative credit risk as opposed to absolute. We also had a look at the measurement of expected losses on financial assets in this good bucket or good category. These are the loans that have initiated, no known problems or anything like that. Now, the boards agreed to keep the calculation of the impairment allowance as operationally simple as possible. They have been looking at what they might prefer to do in terms of getting a more consistent basis, but there's this realisation that it has to be something that the banks can work with. And so what the staff have been asked to look at is to explore approaches that would either calculate the allowance using 12 or 20 months' worth of losses expected to occur. Even little nuances that are important here, for example, it would be based on an annual, in other words, looking ahead 12 months, not an annualised loss rate, because an annualised rate would be almost like a time proportionate approach. But we're looking at the losses that you expect to incur within the next 12 months, for example. And so we're going to do a little bit more work with our expert advisory panel to see whether it should be 12, 18 or 24, for example. But it's likely to be as simple as we possibly can. So, it's good. It's really good news for us because we've now locked down to the basic parts of the model. It's likely that we're going to have to re-expose this because we've moved away from the supplementary document that came out a little bit earlier. So we're working very hard on this, and we hope to get, in the next due process document out in the third quarter this year. Third to fourth quarter.
Okay. Well, it's good to hear the two boards working together on this important area. Ian, perhaps you could talk a little bit about the discussion on effective dates.
Effective dates and transitional methods. Yes, doesn't sound very exciting, but there was some exciting discussion. The boards had done additional outreach with users and software providers, and this was a discussion based on that outreach and what we should do about the four major projects going forward. The major decision, I guess, and it'll come out as an exposure draft because this is a change, is for IFRS 9, where we're going to expose the proposal that the effective date be extended to January 2015. Now, there's a number of reasons for this, but the main one is that the other arms of the financial instrument projects haven't been completed. And a lot of people want to see this as a package, and so we'll be doing our best to get those other arms as soon as we can, but we thought it was important that we signal to the market that there is going to be more time, not just 2013 as originally proposed. The second one we discussed was revenue recognition, and the decision there was the effective date would not be before 1st of January 2015. We'll keep an eye as to how that goes. Obviously, the exposure draft's going out. We've got to get comments in. We've got to reconsider those comments. One never knows for sure how long that's going to take, but if our planning goes to plan, then 1st of January 2015 should be sufficient time, but we'll wait and see. The other two major projects, insurance and leases, are at too early in stage to be making those decisions just yet. There was another interesting discussion, and that was whether early application will be available. And there was a split between the boards, and there is a difference in attitude in their history. FASB unanimously agreed to a rebuttable presumption that early application will not be permitted. The ISB unanimously said for first-time IFRS users, early adoption would be allowed, and that would get back to thinking about whether early adoption, and on a standard-by-standard basis, as to whether early adoption be allowed on others. But there was a bit of a split, and the basic debate is between allowing people to get on with things, to use what hopefully is an improved standard on one hand, and on the other hand, comparability, where you've got different constituents using different standards at the same time. Okay. So that's an ongoing debate, really.
All right, Ian, perhaps we could stay with you, if you wouldn't mind talking us through the discussion on the agenda consultation.
The agenda consultation, this project's been running for quite a while. It's been taken to a number of places. It's been taken to the Advisory Council. It's been taken to the trustees. It's been to the board before. It was back at the board at this meeting, and it really got its final approval. And we were really interested in this is critically important to the board in its new phase. We're not doing this consultation casually. We really do want people's input, and we'll be doing a lot of outreach during the time that it's out so that we can talk to people about it, have seminars, meetings, individual outreach, as much as we can possibly do.
Okay, well, obviously that's important, this being the first agenda consultation post-convergence work, I suppose. Alan, would you mind just giving us a quick wrap-up of any other topics that were discussed during the meeting?
Sure. We had a few extra bits and pieces. For example, we did discuss insurance as part of this, and really we didn't reach any particular decisions in there. The board's struggled a little bit, I think, with the topics. So that'll be coming back in September. We had a visit, an external presentation from representatives from the Scottish Institute of Chartered Accountants and the New Zealand Institute of Chartered Accountants. And they presented a paper on disclosure. They had some suggestions on how we could cut back some disclosure requirements. So essentially there was an education session for us. We didn't make any decisions on that, but it's if people want to look through our website, yeah, they can actually get a link through to that paper. The other thing is we also had a look at hedge accounting. It's always a difficult one to talk about in a podcast because technically it's quite a detailed and quite a complex project. But essentially, within our general hedge model, we had a look at least four topics in there, accounting for forward points and basically the discuss whether proposals in ED for time value of options should be extended to forward points, as a lot of people requested. We had a look at that, and the board decided to actually do that for forward points that existed, exception of the hedging relationship. Aggregated exposures reached quite a few decisions on that, essentially confirming the proposals as they were with some minor amendments. The other two issues were net position cash flow hedges and then the net presentation in a separate line item in the income statement, in the last one, the feedback showed strong support for the proposals that would require the gains or losses on a hedging instrument to be presented in a separate line item for net position hedge. But I'd encourage people to pick up a copy of ISB Update. The daily ones have been going out, and the full update should be available later this week. Next meeting, I guess, is a little while for us. There's a bit of break in a sense. In August, we're not planning to meet. The next meeting will be in the week, about 6th or 7th of September, I think it is, for an extra meeting. And then later on, I think about the third week of September, we've got a full week as well.
Okay, well, thanks to Ian McIntosh and to Anna Teixeira. Just leaves me to give the obligatory health warning that these are the personal views of the presenters and do not necessarily represent those of the IASB. The only official summary of the board meeting is provided by IASB Update, which will be available on the IASB website shortly. Thank you.